introducing the adorable and wickedly talented Jeebus T. Christ.
Thanks, everybody. I'm glad to be here.
What's going on?
Nothing much, you know. It's May, almost June in California, and the Beach Boys are a bunch of lying assholes because it's not sunny here and nobody's in bikinis. Everybody's wearing hooded sweatshirts because it's freaking 64 degrees outside and the sky is the color of an old woman's hair.
Now, wait a second. You're in California. Are you where are you at exactly?
I am on the Monterey Peninsula.
So near DLI?
Yeah. It's near Nerd Mountain. It's near Naval Postgraduate School. It's near the Fort Ord Military Community, which I guess is just a fancy name for a bunch of, you know, old government shit they got rid of. I think there's a National Guard armory about an hour and a half, 2 hours down the road from here or whatever. Yeah.
And you're active duty.
I'm active duty. I've been in active federal service since 2007. It was and before that I did just a bunch of Joe jobs. I was a musician and I was a waiter and a bartender, you know, the family business, man. And you know, I had got my degree in English and I called my pops and I said, "Pops, you know, what should I do? And he said, "You got to join the family business." I said, "I'm not doing that." So I wanted to be a teacher, and then I realized that I didn't want to deal with a bunch of immature people. So I said, "You know what? I think the Army's the best fit for me." So I joined up and was going to try to come out here to this area as I wanted to be a 35 papa, which I think is cryptological linguist.
Yes.
But my old man got on the phone with my recruiter, and my recruiter started sputtering and muttering and saying a bunch of yes for a sergeant. So when they hung up, he was like, I can't let you enlist. Your father will kill me. I was like, okay. So I did a basic combat training at a 347 Infantry Battalion, Sand Hill, Fort Benning, Georgia, and then I went to the United States Army Officer Candidate School immediately to follow, and then was commissioned a transportation officer, and went to Fort Eustis, fabulous Fort Eustis, back when it was still there. And then my first assignment was back to Fort Benning. I got Fort Riley, but I traded with my buddy and went back to fabulous Fort Benning. And then from there was Joint Base Balad.
Joint Base
Iraq.
Balad. I've never heard of that. Where's that
you
at?
Joint Base Balad is like the Kuwait of Iraq. It was this huge air base north of they used to send guys there for R&R. It was huge. I mean, Taco Bell. I used to get a pedicure every Sunday. I mean, that's no joke.
Really?
That's how freaking pogtastic it was, man. Ice cream and stuff. And then after that it was career course, and then after that the Mighty First Armored Division out of Fort Bliss, Texas, where I did a bunch of SPO stuff and support operations, logistics stuff. And then I was a company commander, and somewhere in there I took a trip to the National Training Center and Kandahar, Afghanistan, which was decidedly different from Joint Base Balad. No pedicures or nothing like that. And then I got selected to be a foreign area officer, and they've sent me out here for a whole bunch of training. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell. I've been married. How long have I been married? I've been married for 17 years. My wife and I have been a couple for 20, and I've got two kids. One is 17. Yeah, do the math. And then my other one is 11. And
if I had to guess, you're mid 40s.
Oh no, not at all, not at all. I got started young.
Oh, yeah. So late 30s.
I'm not even 40 yet. No, it just get, you know what? We were teen parents. I say that. We were both 19 when our kid was born. But so you know, teen parent, right? No jobs, no fans, no plans, and no band, man. And so I had to make ends meet the best way I knew how. And so I moved from where I was going to college out to Lawton, Oklahoma, you know, Fort Sill, right? So I think since the day I was born, I've lived away from a military base for maybe a year of my time. I mean, yeah, I've always been either a dependent. I was a dependent from the day I was born till when I was 19, and then again when I joined. So I've been affiliated. You know, my father-in-law was a CW4. So
wait, yes. So why did you said earlier first sergeant?
My father's a first sergeant. My father-in-law.
Oh, in-law. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a CW4 in the artillery, and so you know it was nothing to go to Fort Sill for this or that or you know, yeah. But yeah.
Now, how does that work for you? Is a CW4? Can he pull? See, I have no idea how much power those guys have.
Well, CW4. You know, my old man used to say the CW4 was the bulletproof monk. He's untouchable. Could do anything you wanted to, say anything you wanted to say. I've worked with I used to work for two CW5s when I was in Joint Base Balad, and immense, phenomenal cosmic power. Because they're about ages with the brigade commander, and you got to figure the brigade commander, he can't really just kick it with anybody, because for one thing, he's probably 15 years older than everybody there, and who's he going to talk about, you know, covered wagons and horseback riding than with, you know, the CW5. So he not only has that experience level, but he's kind of, you know, his peer age wise. And, you know,
I'd imagine it caps out sort of like a sergeant major where, yeah, you're an E9, and that can be a really low level thing as low as a battalion, right. But it can be super, you know, 4-star general level. So,
right. You rarely see a W5 below. We had them in sustainment brigade, but generally they hang out at division and above. But the problem is that once you get to that certain rank and something changes in the army, you've got to learn about it secondhand. And so, you know, the best chiefs are the ones. I'm not talking about aviators because I know nothing about those guys.
Right.
The best chiefs are the ones that fight to stay at that company and battalion level because, you know, I mean, I remember one time I went down to the maintenance bay and there was this dude I'd never seen before, in the welding shop. And, you know, I was responsible for the maintenance there. I wasn't really necessarily gonna, you know, I wasn't going around checking haircuts and uniforms. It's a platoon leader or shop officer job, but I still wanted to know because there was a lot of politics at the time as they were closing the fobs. A lot of people were coming in trying to, you know, move their trucks into there. So I went like, hey, excuse me, can I help you? And he turned around and it was this chief, right? And he turned around and he's got the clothes and he's like, hey, I just need to tell these soldiers how to do this weld. And I was like, wow, you know, this guy's like a CW3 promotable CW4, still at the company level, but he wasn't too good to, you know, throw on coveralls and train these soldiers. And I was just, man, I get goosebumps thinking about it. Just this guy, you know, he could say and do whatever he wanted and nobody could touch him. And yet he was still enough.
He was an NCO at heart.
Well, and warrants kind of have it like that where they can be that technical expert. And when you're talking about being a welder, your technical expert, he's the CW, the chief warrant officer over the welding shop. It should be the best, the best welder. You know, he's going to be the best welder there. And he was just like, I got to show these guys how to do this. And I was like, man, it's just great, you know. But CW4 would stomp on me with regularity and, hey, sir, you need to unfuck yourself and fix this right now. But if I said, hey, chief, we need to have a talk and here's what, and I'd researched and I showed them, hey, here's why what you're saying is not the right thing. It was hard for them to swallow it, but swallow it they did because I would, you know, they're still mature enough and understand, you know, we're all on the same team and it's one team, one fight and whatever. And, you know, and sometimes you just say Roger Chief and you do what they tell you to do, you know, cause they're usually right.
All right. It doesn't matter if you're a major or a lieutenant colonel or whatever, you know, it comes to a point where.
Yeah. Major can kind of, I remember him having the chiefs up there and getting down on him, but this was a special kind of guy. And he was, he was a real hard ass and they knew him to be a hard ass and they knew him to be usually right about things. So, you know, there's a tipping point, you know, like at some point you can, you know, at a certain rank, you can tell, you know, the first sergeant to pound sand. You can't do it as a second lieutenant, but somewhere between first lieutenant and captain, you know, if you're right, you can tell the first sergeant to pound sand. And, you know, it's kind of the same way with chiefs to a greater degree. Cause there's, you know, a lot more blowback if you piss a chief off, you know?
Right. Right. I mean, it's, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, he's the guy, you know, well, that's fine. But the next time you need my, you know, 20 years of knowledge, you know, 25, 30 years. The one guy I worked for, I think he's out of the Army, so I'll say his name. His name was Olinger, CW5 Olinger. And I asked him when he joined, and he asked me what year I was born. And he told me that he joined the Army 4 days before I was born. So this guy had been in the Army longer than I was alive. So, I mean, yeah, you can bite the hand that feeds, but, you know, he's been there and done that. You know, he wore the pickle suit, and now he's wearing ACUs, you know. So, yeah, Chiefs.
That's where it's at. No, I got you.
Yes. Pretty good.
And, you know, I sort of ran into the same thing. You know, it doesn't matter what rank you are. If you are the expert, it doesn't even matter if you're the expert. If you need something done, you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Exactly.
I constantly would have NCOs when I was the our head computer guy for our S6 over at Fort Campbell. And most of the officers, it didn't matter if you're a captain or an NCO, like a first sergeant, they would come up to me. And even though I was, you know, at the time of PV2, PFC, specialist, they would be like, hey, you know, hey, come over here. I need you to help fix this. Hey, buddy, can you, and, you know, they'd be calling me buddy, you know, because they want it done. Whereas, you know, Joe Schmo comes up to them from their battery and he'd be like, hey, first sergeant, be like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But they would never talk to me that way. But occasionally you would get that fucking NCO. I never really experienced it with too many officers, but NCOs, sometimes they'd come up to me and be like, hey, you need to fix this, and I don't want to hear any excuses. Okay, got you, sergeant. You know, I'd go down there and then they'd want to shit on me, and I'd be like, hey, yeah, I can't figure out what's wrong with your email, so I'm going to have to get back to you.
Sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
And I hate to play that game, but really, I mean, if you're going to abuse your authority, it doesn't matter what rank you are. If you do not have the respect for someone that you would walking on the street, then I got nothing for you.
It's true. We had this platoon sergeant as a platoon leader, and he had, because on Fort Benning, you've got the 3rd Brigade. And then you've got like a bunch of skeezy main post units that really don't fall under anybody, a bunch of numbered engineer and transportation units and stuff. I was in one of those skeezy units. And then right across the field, our PT field on the other side was the 375th, right? And so, we'd had a guy that just came back from there. I guess there's one slot in there. I don't even know their force structure, but there's only one slot for an E8, and he wasn't that guy. So he came over to us, another just right across the street, and he was just out of control. I mean, not out of control. He just wasn't ready. But he wasn't what the average 88 Mike was used to. And this guy was just like hard and mean. And if he saw you, he would smoke you, you know.
Right, just out of control. No, that's out of control. If you're just smoking soldiers for no reason,
it was crazy. But you know what? The kind of pudgy, freaking nerd paralegal guy could walk up to him and kind of assume a 3/4 parade rest and not get smoked, because everybody knew, you know, that if you piss the legal guy off, that's cool, but you're not going to get your packets. Do you know what, sergeant? Damn the luck. I gave that to staff sergeant so-and-so, and he must have lost it. What are you going to do? You know, restart it. So he was able to he was able to walk into the lion's den, you know. He was the baby hippo in the crocodile pond. And I'm not going to get down on Sergeant D, because, you know, it was tough love. And I saw him, work till 8 o'clock at night taking care of, you know, soldier went to the hospital, and he was going to the hospital and buying food for the family out of his pocket and stuff.
Okay,
like
that's good stuff.
Yeah, he was just like, he got there and his platoon was a bunch of, you know, undisciplined fatties. And when they left, I mean, he probably could have marched them right across the street to the 75th and you know, maybe they could have gone to RASP or something, but they would have fit in just fine. They went, you know, I mean, I think the whole platoon, they counted like 500 pounds they lost, you know.
Wow. That's crazy.
In like 8 weeks. Yeah. He worked him, and he was just hard on him, but they didn't back talk him. Like, you know, there was never any kind of indiscipline. It was real tough. And I, you know what, sometimes I think the Army needs that, you know. I mean, you'll find that the more technologically advanced an Army is, and there's outliers or whatever, but there's a sweet spot. But like, the more harsh they are on their people, the less technology they have. Because you have armies like ours, and it's like, you know, you get these salty people, you know, who I'm not doing that shit. I'm about to ETS or whatever. But like, I guess that's not something that goes down in the South Korean army. Like they get their ass kicked.
Oh yeah. In fact, the chaplain I work with over in my reserve unit, he was in the ROK army and just telling me that they used to beat the shit out of him constantly just for no reason. That's just a way of life.
It doesn't really like foster a great climate or whatever, but like I think we could stand to be a little bit harder. I just don't know if I have it in me to be harder than I am. I don't know. I'm kind of getting away from having to lead soldiers and NCOs anymore. Just the nature of the
FAO. Yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah, the new gig. But I mean, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any regrets about how I did it when I was coming up. But I'm like, I don't sit around and think, oh, I should have been harder on those people, you know, or anything like that. But you know, you'll see these kids post this crazy shit on the internet and you're like, man, where's his NCOs? You know, where's his leadership, you know, straightening him out, you know? Cause I mean, like, yeah, okay. The kid wasn't at the protest actively protesting. What the hell are you doing downtown in your uniform, bro? It's like, you know, unless you were walking to work and you can prove you're walking to work, the burden of proof is on you to prove that. Cause otherwise I'm going to dog you out. Cause you know,
we know he got in his uniform, drove over there.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I don't know. I'm not going to judge him, but I do know that, like, if I'm at Walmart, I don't go to Walmart. If I was at Target, and it was like 8:30 at night, and I saw some dude banging around in ACUs there, and he didn't look like, you know, he was, you know, I'm going to stop and say, hey, excuse me, what's going on? And he goes, hey, well, I'm up here buying food for the soldier. I'm sorry, don't mean to bother you. Move out. Oh, we're just shopping. Oh, yeah, guess what? You need to go home and change. It's 8:30. You know, duty day ends at 17. I'm sure, you know, man, you know, I may get crucified by the community for saying that, but
well, you know, you know, the way I look at it is, like if it's after work and you're tired and you just want to grab something on the way home or, you know, but do you really need to go to Walmart and shop for 3 hours in your uniform? And,
right.
You know, and I understand sometimes like I'd go out and I'd see someone eating with his family uniform. I got it. He probably met them, you know, on his way home and he just wanted to go and eat. I got it. But there comes to a point where it's like, okay, guys, really? Really?
No, there was a kid I saw hanging out in the mall in El Paso. And I walked by and it was him and it was a bunch of his buddies. And they were all soldiers, but one of them was in uniform. And they were just kind of posted up by the rail calling to the girls as they walked by. And I went, you know, and I went and picked this thing up. It was around Christmas time, I think. That's why I was at the mall. And I went and bought this thing and I walked back by and I bought this thing and they're still over there. And I walked, I was like, hey, I was like, you're in the army, right? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, here's my ID card. Clearly you didn't, you know, clearly you're not on your way home from work. You're hanging out. So, you know, go home and change out of your uniform and then come back up here. That's cool. But I mean, you know, you're just hanging out, you know, I just don't want.
Did he shit his pants?
No. I mean, cause I'm trying to be nice, you know, and that's one thing that, I don't like is when soldiers get scared over a square piece of cloth. I don't like that. Like if you got drunk and wrecked your car or you've beat your spouse or you've stolen a sensitive item or something like that, and I'm sitting behind a desk and you're standing in front of it, it's okay to be nervous. You should be nervous because something, you know, if you're found guilty, the best thing isn't going to happen to you, but we're all people, you know, and it's just people that make the army. And I really don't like that soldiers kind of nut up when they get around me just because I don't like being the man, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way, and that's exactly why I want to be a chaplain, you know, just because, well, hopefully people feel that way around me, you know, just because even being a cadet in a reserve unit, people are like, yes, sir, and it's like, okay, guys, really? Like, I know behind my back you're like, that fucking idiot.
Yeah, yeah, and so sometimes, like, generally, like, I'm not the guy. If you look at me and then like keep walking, I'll stop you and say, excuse me. You're going to get to a real unit one day, or, you know, you're going to run into a guy who's not as nice about it as I am. So get in the practice of saluting officers when you see them. But I don't, do you know, do we not salute officers anymore? What about? It's like, come on, man. It's not that serious. It's just a gesture, you know, and you want to stop him and take him aside and say, hey, brother, you know, listen, you know, do the right thing. Don't be a dick, you know, unless it's like clear that they're like, you know, But I mean, like, you run into Marines, man, they'll chase you down to salute you. I swear to God, I almost threw out like some rippets somewhere just to get them off my track because I was going to my car and the guy crossed the parking lot. And I'm like, go away, Marine, you motivated crazy man, you know?
Yeah, well, that's their culture.
That is, it really is. And so, yeah, I mean, they don't get a lot of good supply. Going back to my theory, however true it may be, that the less equipped you are, the more disciplined you are, you know? That's like, you can give them, like, not anything because, you know, yeah. What else you got for me? You got something else?
I've been talking for a while. You're good. I was looking at your Twitter, and my biggest concern is John Wayne quote you had. I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility. Why did you retweet that?
What? I don't have a Twitter, dude. No, that's crazy. No, I never wrote anything like that. Actually, I do have a Twitter, and it's what I used to follow. I used to follow news from South Asia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, stuff like that. And I follow Prime Minister Narendra Modi. I think I'm gonna pick up President Obama. He just got his Twitter account just the other day, so I'm gonna follow him. By and large, I have two Facebooks. I'm that guy because I got one for my army peeps, and then I got one Facebook for like close friends and family. And so generally, I'll get on the army one and be like, hey, you know, guys, da 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 da. This is what I'm doing in my life. And then I got the other one where I get on there and I say, you know, hey guys, sometimes I'd like to get drunk and listen to the national anthem over and over again. It's actually my favorite song. Like Whitney Houston's version is unparalleled. I cannot stand it. Like, I don't know if you saw the fight between Mayweather and Pacquiao, but I was like, Jamie, put the mic down, bro. You don't. It's like when you're standing in change of command, they're like, at this time, specialist so-and-so will sing the national anthem. And she gets up and it's like the Soul Train Music Awards. I'm like, bro, you perform it. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to sing the national anthem. Don't, you know, I don't want to hear like 30 extra notes in there. We're not here saluting for an extra 30 seconds so you can show us how great of a singer you are. There's time for that. Like if, you know,
you're Whitney Houston.
There's like, well, but you know what? If you listen to her original version that she did at the Super Bowl, it's not like that at all. What made her great when she sang was her power and her tone. I mean, when she lets loose. I mean,
I can admit I'm a huge Whitney Houston fan. Her first album was spectacular. It was really good.
Yeah, no, she was pretty good. I would even go so far as to say that she might have been the female vocalist of the 60s or the 80s if it hadn't been for Joan Jett.
Really? No, rest in peace.
I mean, yeah. Rest in peace, Whitney. You know, I handed my son this Diet Coke, and I'm a big Diet Coke drinker, and he looked at the back, and it said, share a Coke with Whitney. He goes, you know, I think Whitney's had enough Coke. Yeah.
Did you know that Whitney Houston's debut LP called Simply Whitney Houston had 4 number one singles on it? Did you know that?
Wait, let me see. Hold on. She did Be Your Baby Tonight. Was that one of them?
No.
No, it must have been a later
The Greatest release. Love of All.
The greatest love of all, which is one of the best, most powerful songs
ever written about self-preservation, dignity.
She did I Want to Dance with Somebody. That came off that album.
No, that's the second album.
Are you sure?
Second,
yeah.
Wow.
No, I'm a Whitney Houston fan. I'll tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, what's the other?
I don't know the other three. I just know there were 4.
No. I never really liked Greatest Love of All. I really couldn't get into it. And that wasn't that accessible.
The thing it says, though, is it's impossible in this world that we live in to empathize with others, but we can always empathize with ourselves. It's an important message, really. And it's beautifully stated on the album.
I can get down with that. I guess I have to go back and dig it.
No, I got you.
I have to listen to the lyrics again. I thought it was about kids and future and all that stuff.
No. It's much deeper than that. You have to dig under the skin, swab the folds, pull them up, get under them. All right. So, hey, we're going to get into the, to my listeners, all three of you. We have a list here that I gave to Jeebus here. And this was a rule list that I submitted to the mods for April Fools for our army. And it wasn't really, it was kind of sat on. And then they were like, yeah, we're not going to do this because I guess everyone. Now, what was it? They had a rule that I think it was no AMAs or something.
That was actually a rule they implemented because they were
That really pissed off a lot of people. And then when I put this, it was right around that time, and one of the mods was like, "Yeah, we're not going to be doing that because they're already pissed off because they're probably not going to realize it's a joke." So I'm just going to read it here. Again, just as with the new rules on AMAs, we're trying to keep this board up to the high standards that we typically see in the Army. We are trying to move away from the typical Reddit model of trolling and stupidity and more towards a professional model that you might find on Rally Point. Are you familiar with Rally Point?
I might have made it I think I might be on Rally Point, but not extensively.
But the idea is it's an official, like, Army if we weren't retarded and we called each other sir and sergeant.
There's a lot of that going on in there, and that, yeah, I know about it. I'm not that crazy about
it. Right. So this was sort of a spoof on that. So here's the rules I had proposed. The current flare system is outdated and will be revamped to a new and improved rank system model, which in itself is a joke because we did have ranks and we got rid of them. Users will be required to submit photocopies of the military IDs, veteran ID cards, to show proof of rank. Now, I believe they do that on Rally Point as well, or they let you use your military email.
No, I think I saw that. So you've got like some you know, Fullbird comes on there and says, "You all are wrong," and everybody just like leaves the thread.
Right, exactly. Verified users will, from this point forward, be referred to as you would in a live setting. NCOs are referred to by their rank. Yes, Master Sergeants will be addressed as such, not simply Sergeants, and all officers will be addressed as Sir or Ma'am. Warrant officers may be addressed as Chief, but must state so in an MFR submitted to our moderation team, whereby a list of names will be submitted as such in a sticky thread. Can you imagine how needlessly complicated that would be?
It sounds strangely familiar.
Yeah, exactly. Veterans will still be treated as if active military, but will only be allowed to wear the upcoming veteran hat flare next to their usernames, which was in itself a spoof of all the Vietnam vets you see wearing those hats. And then I don't know if you've ever encountered any veteran that has been like adamant you refer to them by their rank, but I have on two occasions, and it's always hilarious.
Never had that happen to me. I still call my father-in-law Chief, but that's just because I'm uncomfortable with calling him by his first name or dad or anything like that. So I'm just like, yeah, Chief. But, you know, I like to stop and shake the hand of the old guy in the Vietnam vet hat. But I never like go to him to a place where he's seated or I'm seated, because then you can't get away. So you just like see him at the gas station and be like, "Hey, thanks for your service, old man," you know.
But
I don't feel
it. Yeah. You know, but the big thing with me is like just these people that get so irate over the dumbest shit. You know, when I worked at Fort Huachuca, I was a gate guard, and I had this old, you know, decrepit, like 7-year-old dude come up, you know, through the gate, and you know, he just handed me his veteran ID. I was like, "All right, have a good day, sir." And he looked at me and goes, "You don't salute retired warrant officers anymore? I was a CW2. And I was like, "Oh, God." I saluted him, and I was like, "Have a great day, sir." You know, because at that point, it's just not worth the butthurt they're going to go through, because then they're going to call someone, and then, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, I remember it started at Fort Bliss, where they would salute everybody at the gate, you know, if you had the ID card. And so, like, I would, it'd be like Sunday afternoon, and the wife would be like, "Hey, I need you to go here and pick up this thing." And I'm like, "I haven't shaved since Friday morning. You know, I may or may not have had a bath this morning. You know, I'm wearing my pajama pants." And like, I'm like, "I'm just going to go." And they're like, "Just go." And so I get out, and I'm coming through the gate, and I'm like, "God damn it. I got to face this private." And it's always some motivated private who sees me, and I've got like 3 full days of scruff, you know, and I've probably got some, you know, still got sand in my eyes from, you know,
I'm whatever. Assuming I'm like, this is on Bliss.
Yeah,
I'm assuming Bliss policy says you have to shave.
No, it doesn't. But I'm just looking like some old, you know, scuzz bucket, right? Like I'm
right, just not professional.
Yeah. And these guys slip me. I'm like, man. So, you know, it's just like, I'm not going to shave on the weekends. But, you know, the least you guys could do is just like, you know, take my driver's license or something.
And, you know, we had a guy in our sub, and I think his name is like Another Gray Suit or something. And he made the best post I've ever seen in that sub, which was someone was arguing that the whole argument with the shaving on the weekends thing is that, well, you're never off duty. You know, you're always on duty. And what he said was, then in that case, you should never be allowed to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Because you're always on duty.
Well, you know what? The thing is with that for me, and they're like, you got to shave on leave and shaving in your off time. I mean, you know, some guys are motivated and they get up and they do it anyway. You know, I used to work with a guy who got up 4:30 every single morning without exception, drank his coffee, shaved, got everything ready for his day or whatever, you know, and that's great if you're that guy. But like we went to Disney World one time and we're walking like through the Magic Kingdom and it's not the happiest place on earth. It's the fucking worst place on earth. But we're walking through Disneyland and this dude in front of me is wearing like jean shorts and PT shoes, like running shoes, and like a tucked in shirt that has like Airborne on it and like a high and tight haircut. And I'm like, that guy's in the Army at like one of the busiest places in Florida. And like, he's a target, you know, to anybody who doesn't like soldiers. You know, he's clearly not stationed in Orlando. You know, he's not like Mickey's, you know, palace guard or whatever. So like, that's, you know, the other reason is like, I always grow some sort of funky beard when I'm on leave, just for the simple fact that when I go someplace, and I don't wear a military haircut, you know, whenever I go someplace, like it's not automatically obvious that, you know, that I'm a soldier. You don't dress like it either. So it's just like, they just weren't thinking through that. They're going to say out of one side of their mouth, they're going to say, you know, try to blend in with the population, you know, haircuts and stuff like this, but you got to shave, soldier, and stay within the regulations at all times. Well, guess what? I got 5 minutes before I have to be at work if you call me in at Saturday night, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to run a razor through my face. You know, well, you catch me at the PX, I'm going to get an Article 15. Come on. I mean, there's like more important things to worry about.
Oh, man, right, we had those. I don't know if Bliss had them or anywhere you've been, but when I was at Campbell, right before I left, they had courtesy patrols. And those things were insane. I saw a sergeant first class when I was on brigade staff duty get chewed out by the brigade sergeant major. Because he had this huge line of people, and he had to come with his first sergeant. I think it was whatever your immediate leadership was. So for that first class, it's the first sergeant. And you had to go to the sergeant major and explain why your hands were in your pockets, or your hair, or you had a beard or whatever, or why you weren't wearing your cover under shelter while you were pumping gas. You know, just the most trivial bullshit. And, of course, you know, I'm like standing, or I'm sitting right in front of the door to the boardroom where they're talking, and you just hear the sergeant major like, "All right, Sergeant, why weren't you wearing, you know, your cover?" And he'd be like, "Well, Sergeant Major, I don't want to hear it." You know, it's like, oh God, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how. Like on post, I'm kind of okay with it. Sort of, kind of okay with courtesy patrol. Certainly during the week. Certainly during the week, I'm okay with it because. Well, I'm of two minds, really. Because
you're,
I mean,
you
like,
feel conflicted.
I feel conflicted because, like, I'm like, okay, well, if your NCO has trained you correctly and you got basic training, you know what the right thing looks like. I don't put my hands in my pockets to this day because I think Drill Sergeant Stevens is going to come out of the earth and choke me to death. All right, I'm still terrified of the man to this day. It's crazy. So there's a lot of things I don't do that have stuck since basic training. I've just gotten into the habit. But some people, it just doesn't stick, you know. And so if your NCO has trained you and basic training's trained you and you're still screwed up, we don't want people walking around doing whatever they want. It's a dumb rule. Hands in the pockets. But you know what? It's the rules and you got to follow them. So during the week, but why are you going to make some guy come in on the weekend, you know, who's probably in a leadership position already anyway, and burn 8 hours of his day making sure soldiers are shaved or they're not wearing, their boots are all the boot laces tucked in or whatever like this, you know, and, you know, it's kind of silly. I don't know. Because it's like, did they do this 30 years ago? And if they did, okay, maybe that's what we should be doing, but I don't know.
Well, 30 years ago, I would have taken you in the back and beat the tar out of you.
Right. Well, I guess just from my perspective, I guess I'm a little bit more laid back about stuff like that because it's never been something that I've really been called upon to focus on. You know what I'm saying?
As an officer, especially, it's not really. Yeah. You know, how often is someone going to take you to the commander, or not you, but to the commander's office, to be like, "Hey, this soldier keeps putting his hands in his pockets."
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
when does it get to that level?
Yeah, you know, figure it out. You know, I mean, like, I don't know. I think it's important for tradition, and it's something that I don't do or whatever. But I mean, dude, we just got around to getting to the point where you could carry an umbrella in uniform. You know, I mean, used to, you just had to stand in the rain and get rained on. If you wore your class A's, you had to just stand there and get rained on. Women could carry them. That was okay. But men had to just wear the raincoat and and get rained on. And it's just like that it's tradition. We don't carry umbrellas, but it's kind of silly, you know, and we've always done it, but you know, I don't know. I'm really excited about the new multicams though. I think they look really sharp.
Oh yeah, I'm pumped for them.
Yeah, they look really sharp, and they don't look skeezy like the ACUs can get. Yeah, after a while, they kind of get skeezy, and they just look sharper, and they feel the cloth. They say the cloth's made the same thing. I don't know. I like the feel of the cloth feels a little bit better.
So you have a pair.
Yeah, well, you get them when you go to Afghanistan.
Are you talking about multicam or Scorpion?
Well, they're going to let you wear whatever one I got when I went to Afghanistan. They're going to let you wear those until I think they're going to let you wear those for like I think maybe until it's like permanent. Like you can't wear anything else ACUs. I think they're going to let you wear the Afghan. I may be wrong on that.
If I remember correctly. After 2018-19, you can wear multicam, the OCP, and then there's supposedly different, like a jungle and a desert variant of those two, but we haven't seen this. Yeah.
You know, and the thing is like when I think it starts on the 1st of July is when you can start wearing the cool stuff. But by the time 1st of July comes along, I'll be on civilian clothes status. So like I don't know the next time I'll wear a utility uniform. I really don't. Well, it'll be tomorrow, but after, you know, after, you know, next month or so, I don't know. I really don't know the next time I'll wear utilities again. So, we'll probably be wearing B's or A's or some variant thereof or civilian clothes, you know, which I've certainly got that covered, but I don't know. I think it looks better and it's certainly something, you know, you're just not gonna be able to look as sloppy, you know, you're not gonna be able to be fat and hide it. You know, that's the craziest thing when you height and weight somebody and he takes off his top and he takes off his shirt. He's like, Jesus Christ, you hiding that thing? You know, where was that? You know,
I got you.
Where'd that gut come from?
All right. Well, let's see. I think we've been talking about 35 minutes. It's a good amount of time. I think we'll close out and give a little prayer for Psychotic, who our beloved user has left us from our sub.
Yeah, apparently he did. I don't know. I guess there's a little bit of drama in his life about. I don't know. Don't rewind that. That's not what I meant. He was kind of dissatisfied with the way some of the things were going in the sub. So he took off.
I think he had drill sergeant syndrome, where he got so tired of people acting like, you know, the privates in his life were reflected in that sub coming in being like, hey, how do I do this thing that you could have searched for?
Well, you know what it probably was, is every time he read that, his hands turned to knife hands and he was unable to type with any speed. So he's just like, fuck it.
Yeah, he was like a you know, an eagle with those little like claw hands, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, just knife hand through the computer, you know.
Oh, rah. God, yeah.
I've gone through 6 monitors. This is bullshit.
And I wonder, you know, why do people come to, you know, our army? And I think this actually has a valid point, or at least I have a valid point to this, is that, yeah, people come for the information or to laugh, but we have an entertainment value in our users. We have Citisol, you know, we have you, and then GB37 and fucking, you know, what's his name? Red Hawk, Red Raptor, Bitch Boy.
Sure. Wow.
You know, we have a distinct user base of people.
Sure.
And we all feel, you know, that sort of connection because, hey, we're all in the army and we can laugh at it. It's like the reason why people read something like Terminal Lance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I mean, I've got the joke about anytime we talk about being a soldier, I always talk about lawn care or sweeping the motor pool. I think that's kind of funny. But I mean, we're just... You know, we're just laughing at ourselves, really, you know, because I mean, like, and that's the thing, man, you go and, you know, you're somewhere in uniform and they stop you and say, I just want to thank you for your service. And you're just like, you know, that's a lot of responsibility to put on somebody. And I don't want to have to sit around and think about, you know, the responsibility of being a soldier all the time when I'm trying to buy, a Coke from the 7-Eleven. You know, and so that's kind of how I take the piss out of myself and say, you know, I'm not a janitor. I'm a manager of janitors, you know, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I come just so I can, you know, spread a little knowledge from what I've picked up. And, you know, you can't, if you're a regular visitor, you can't say you've never learned anything because I've learned a bunch of stuff, you know, but, that's why I continue to come back. Like, well, the Bible says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool repeat his folly.
Right. So, the Bible also says, no man knows the hour of his return. Often thought to be about Jesus, actually about psychotic.
It's true.
No one knows the hour of his return, but we assume and hope and pray.
Well, I hope when he comes back, I'm not taking matters in hand, if you know what I mean.
I don't want to think about
it. Yeah, that's a joke. Probably a pretty tasteless one.
Let's see. I think we're pretty much... I wanted to touch real quick upon the whole... go back to the uniform thing, just real quick. You know, I never...
All right, well, ask me a question, and then what you can edit it in.
What's that?
Just like whatever you... Or, sorry, you just say what you were going to say, but you can just edit it in, so that way it's after the thing.
Oh, no, I got you. So I was just going to say that, you know, the whole thing with the going into, like you said, the 7-Eleven, that reminded me. I realized when you live off of a military base and you're a soldier and people know you're a soldier, no one really gives a shit because they see it every day.
It's true.
But being there's an Air Force base down the road from me, but really it's a reserve base. No one pays attention to them. Right. I'm on my way home from a cadet ROTC thing and I'm in my uniform and I was grabbing something at the gas station on the way home. And immediately I have like two people like trying to pay for my shit. And it's like, oh my God, like, hey, I appreciate it guys, but I can pay for my own stuff, you know? And like,
right.
So it's, you know, I immediately stopped ever going in my uniform in there just because it was just like, holy fuck, you know, I think I went in to get aspirin or something. I had a headache, but yeah, I mean, it's just so weird how different people act because when people were telling me like, oh yeah, people will thank you and, you know, crowd you. And I always tell myself like, it has to be bullshit because I've never experienced that, but it was because I was never in a non military environment in the military uniform, seeing what that was like.
Yeah. Well, you just wear it. You know, my mom, whenever I go home, my mom insists that I wear my A's to church, whether I go to church, like, I don't know, once every 3 or 4 years when I go home to visit, my mom's like, wear your uniform to church. And so I do. And
that has to be so awkward.
They damn near have a parade for me every year, you know? And I mean, like everybody at a church that's ever like, thought about joining the military or flunked out of basic training comes and tells me, you know, hey man, you know, thank you for your service. I was in the Army too. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You know, but, they really like go out of their way to like be fired up to tell you. And I guess that's just they feel like they're doing their part, I guess. And so rather than resent them, I'm like, you know, I used to be like shitty. They'd say, thank you for your service. I'd be like, thank you for your tax dollars, you know, but now I'm just like, hey, thank you for your support. Thank you for your support. Cause that's the best thing you can say to them. And they're like, okay, I did my part to, you know, they're really not even really listening to you anyway.
Right.
You know, they just,
it's like giving a like on Facebook.
It's like giving a like on Facebook. Or if it's like, you know, you met somebody, what are you up to these days? Well, I'm doing this. Oh, well, that's good. That's not really good. You know, or how are you doing? I don't want to know how you're doing. I just said that to greet you. Cause it's a song we sing to each other. You know,
I did try to use that to get a girl once at a bar. It didn't work out.
Well, you got to get them young, man. You know, I got mine when she was 19. So, you know, that's the way to get them and stuff.
I actually do have a girlfriend that's 19. So take that for what it is.
Yeah, but you're not 19.
No, I'm not.
As long as she's not 17 like that girl from Fort Gordon, dang, they're going to ruin that troop's life.
What? Man. I didn't hear that.
So they had a sting of these sexual predators. They had these people posing on the internet as young people, and like a 16-year-old girl, and it was on the subreddit just a couple days ago or yesterday, and they went through and they rounded up like 23 dudes and this one female, this 19-year-old Fort Gordon soldier who had tried to set up a sexual encounter with a 16-year-old girl, and I mean it's over, man. She's going to get, you know. I'm guessing they'll probably separate her from the service and she'll have to register as a sex offender. And she's pretty much ruined her life.
So, wow.
You know, that's the other thing, Private. If you're listening, soldier, hey, do me a favor, man. 100% ID check before you get down, man. Wrap the stump before you hump. Yeah, that's it. Hey, sorry. Had to put a safety brief at the end, right? I wouldn't be a very good officer if I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And me being a future officer, I just have to sort of deal with it.
No, as a chaplain, you've got to deal with the people who didn't listen. You know, I got this girl pregnant and she's a stripper and she gave me VD, but she wants to keep the baby. And you're like, oh, God.
Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. And no, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate having you on. And this has been a journey.
No problem, brother. I'm pleased to be the inaugural guest on your podcast. And, you know, just hope that somebody else comes up behind me and does it, because it has been a little bit of fun, quite a bit of fun on my part. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to hear some of the other people on our army and what their perspective is and what they have to say.
Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, fuck Robonator, because that dude told me 3 times he was going to come on the podcast and then he didn't. And, you know, I don't want to hear it, Robo. Robo bitch, that's your name right now.
Hey, well, pick like a salty specialist. They're probably be more interesting than me.
I have had 3 people be like, I'm going to go to basic next week. Can I be on? I appreciate enthusiasm, but I don't think anyone wants to hear another basic training story. Yeah. I'm surprised people like give a shit about that guy writing those things about it.
He keeps posting them. And I mean, like, I guess if you read it, the guy's kind of on a journey, you know, and it's like, he's like, you know, he's injured and, you know, he's like, he really wants to train, but you know, his body's just not letting him, you know, and it's an inspirational story. But at the same time, like, you know, I don't know about you. I've known a million guys who really, really wanted to train and your body just gave out, you know? And the sad thing is although I don't know that guy that he keeps writing, I do know the guys that did happen to who really wanted to stay but couldn't, and I knew them on a personal level. And so it just reminds me of that heartache that I had that, you know, we all graduated basic or we graduated OCS or we graduated whatever it was, and this guy didn't get to come, even though, you know, he was better than some of the guys who did get the chance. So, you know, I read it, but I'm like, man, this is all right. I just, you know.
I got you. 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 I got you.